Pardon the interruption. I'm Coach Prime. Started strong, struggled late.
I'm Jim Harbaugh. Maybe you should try changing your signals. Like, I got a guy, or I had a guy. Maybe I still got a guy can help you with this. Take a look at your stuff, you know what I mean?
That would scare me.
Like, film it.
I don't know if I want anybody taking a look at my stuff. I might get suspended. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody's getting suspended. The rules are stupid. Welcome to the PTI Halloween special, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Rangers win game 3. The Lions are 6-2, and Jeff Saturday joins us for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with the 76ers offloading the troublesome James Harden to where he wanted to land, the Los Angeles Clippers. The Sixers moved Harden and veteran P.J. Tucker in return. They got Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, Nicholas Batum, K.J. Martin, first-round draft picks in 2026 and 2028, and 2 second-round picks. Wilbon, does this trade do more for the Sixers or the Clippers?
Tony, you know what? It's a haul for James Harden, which I don't really understand. I mean, James Harden at this point, 34 years old. I mean, James Harden, and you got to give James Harden money to keep him beyond being a rental. So I understand that the Clippers need to do something now. You know, they've got an older team. They got guys, obviously, they're even their big stars. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George can't stay healthy. You got Westbrook. You got a veteran team. You got to do something now, and they're opening a new arena next year. You want to fill that. Harden maybe helps. He's going home. Well, he's a big star still. But James Harden didn't even talk about winning. He wants to get paid. He wants to have a certain lifestyle, a certain life. That's his thing. I don't know that he makes the Clippers any better, even though it's a big star attraction. The Sixers have to take those picks and turn them into someone who can help Joel Embiid now. Not in 26 or not in 28, because he won't be there if they don't get better now. But I trust Daryl Morey can do that. So, Tony, it depends on what the Sixers turn these picks into. That's a lot of picks to give up for James Harden. And then you got to pay him to keep him? $40 million? What? I ain't paying James Harden that kind of money.
Let's be absolutely certain about this. Okay. The big winner in this trade is James Harden, because he got to go to exactly where he wanted to go, and why the Sixers accommodated that is beyond me. Yes, all of these guys are spare parts and stuff in the future. You put some of it or most of it together, you get a quality player as soon as you can. You got to understand this. The winner of the trade is Philadelphia, because James Harden was dead to them. They weren't going to play him. He wasn't going to play there. He's not an asset at that point.
No.
So you take what you can get, and it's unfair to say that they're not contenders because they didn't get enough for him, because he's not going to be there. He's out of the picture. In terms of the Clippers, here's a statistic that I think is interesting. 3 of the top 6 active scorers without a championship ring are Westbrook and Harden and Paul George. They always disappoint in the playoffs. Kawhi's the only guy who's ever won anything. Yeah. They are perennial disappointments in the playoffs. Harden played with great players at Oklahoma City, at Houston, at Brooklyn, and Philadelphia, and he never won. I don't know who wins this thing except
Tony,
Harden.
I don't either. Tony, here's the other thing. You got 4 ball-dominant players who are going to be in the same lineup, presumably at the same time. And T. Lou's a hell of a coach. I don't even wish this on T. Lou, who I like too much for too many years, to wish this crew on him. But fascinating. On a day where the NFL trade deadline was supposed to be the big news, we know what the big trade news really was. Let's move to the World Series, where the Rangers won game 3, but at a cost. Your boy Max Scherzer left the game in the 4th with back spasms, and Adolis Garcia strained a muscle during a swing in the 8th. Tony, how should the Rangers feel then about the state of their team exiting game 3?
The Rangers should feel tremendous urgency to win tonight, to go up 3-1. Because if Garcia is lost to them, he is their best hitter at the moment. 8 home runs, 22 RBI in the postseason. Did you see his throw in the 2nd inning that cut down the runner trying to score, which would have been the first run for Arizona? That could have been a very big inning. And Christian Walker, I think it was, and he cut him down. So if he's out, Mike, that really hurts. Max Scherzer less so. He's a starting pitcher. He might not have to go again in the series. Now, to be fair, he got 9 outs and he didn't yield any runs, which was a good effort. But I think I think they want to go up 3-1 desperately. I think the other way doesn't work for them. And maybe it's all going to be on Corey Seager. Corey Seager in game one hit an incredible clutch tying home run. Last night he hit it out, and he basically won the game. He made a great defensive play in the eighth inning. Arizona had scored. They had one on first. He goes into the hole, backhands it, starts a rally-killing double play. They pay him $35 million this year. If they win, he might be worth it.
I'm going to go much more small picture here. How should the Rangers feel about their team? Damn great. They won a World Series game. They're up 2-1. You feel great about that. Baseball's day-to-day. It's not the NFL where you look, you know, days and a week ahead. You're not doing that. You're trying to get through the day. They're up 2-1 in the World Series, Tony. And by the way, Garcia's at the ballpark. They don't know whether he's going to play. I'm sure he's going to work out, go through some physical activity to see if he can do what he hurt, how bad he's hurt. Maybe he's not hurt that badly at all. But, and I realize he is their big star in these games at the plate, yeah. Tony.
Yeah.
But come on now. Texas didn't get to this point by being a one-man team.
They're now 9-0 in the road. 9-0 road games. And you better hold on to your signals because I got a guy behind you making notes. We move now to the NFL. The Detroit Lions bounced back last night from that total beatdown by Baltimore, 38-6, and they beat the Raiders on Monday Night Football, 26-14 in a game that was not that close. Wilbon, the Lions, who you love so much, are now 6-2. How should they feel about where they are and what's ahead?
They should feel as great as the Texas Rangers. They should feel great. They're in first place. They're going to win their division. They're not treating it as that. They're saying all the right things, at least all the things I heard post-game. The Vikings are about to start a rookie quarterback next week, and we don't even know what their situation is going to be going forward with quarterback and who's going to be there. The Bears are going to be much closer to having the first pick in the draft than the top of the division, and the Packers are not the Packers anymore. So let's forget about that. So the Detroit Lions are in control. This is the only time I've said this in my whole life of watching that division. Yeah. The Lions are in control of that division. There's only one way to feel.
Well, let's understand something here. Their coach, Dan Campbell, always talks about don't be a victim of the hype. Don't buy into the hype. With what is facing the Detroit Lions, they're going to be inundated by hype. Because you're right, they're going right through that division. They've already won 6 in a row in that division, and they're going to win the next ones because they're better than all the other teams by a substantial margin. Let me tell you what they got coming up, all right? They got the bye, and then they've got at Chargers, Bears, Packers, at Saints, at Bears, Broncos, at Vikings, at Cowboys, Vikings. Only one team, Dallas, with a winning record, only one team. Mike, they'll win 7 of those games at least, maybe more. They're going to go into the playoffs with 13 or 14 wins, the Detroit Lions. And the hype machine is going to be overwhelming
at that point. But Tony, I like the way the Lions played, not putting all of the pressure on Goff. I like the way they went about it. The Raiders stink. The Raiders are no good.
They stink.
So last night's win specifically, the reason we're not getting at that is because it doesn't mean a damn thing. But just the way the Lions are approaching all of this, Tony, it seems to be the right way. And Campbell, by saying let's ignore the hype, has the right tone with that team. Good for them.
Yeah, no, you're right about the Raiders. I mean, they dumped their quarterback, Derek Carr, okay, but they bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, who leads the league in interceptions with 9, and he's missed 2 games. Let's take a break. Coming up, the Niners land themselves a big-name pass rusher. We're going to ask Jeff Saturday whether this fixes their issues.
We'll also ask him whether I'm right to pin the Chiefs' offensive struggles on Matt Nagy. Of course I'm right.
If you turn around, you'll see you're being filmed.
I'm Coach Prime. I don't need to turn around. I know Coach Prime knows everything going on around him. Everything.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Truly, part of Happy Hour.
It's time to get into the trenches with our new best friend, ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday. I'm wearing different glasses because I can't see through the other glasses to read. We'll start with this, Jeff. The Washington team traded pass rusher Chase Young, who was just great as a rookie. They traded him to the 49ers for a third-round pick. This reunites Young with his Ohio State teammate Nick Bosa in what is a really stacked defensive front now. You played center. You're on a line that has to block people like this. Do you think this will solve the Niners, you know, pass rush issues and defensive issues?
All right, before I get into this, I just got to say what a great way to finish my day. Two great-looking men. We got a Harbaugh and a Coach Prime. I mean, it don't get no better than this. You know what I mean? I started my day with Chris Canty as Prince, ending it with you two gems. Ain't nothing better than this right here. Yeah. I'm way underdressed. I feel way underdressed, but you guys look fantastic. All right, now to the 49ers. This is a definite bolster for them, and I'll tell you why. From an offensive line perspective, they're trying to overwhelm you with one-on-one matchups, right? So you got Bosa, you got Young, you got Armstead. You try to continue to bring guys in to create one-on-ones. Now you got to keep a tight end in or maybe a tight end and back because you know at some point if you have all these one-on-one blocks, these guys can overwhelm you and get to the pass, get to the quarterback. On the back end of that 49ers defense, which you've seen kind of get exposed the last few weeks, that's what they're trying to help. You got to put pressure on the QB to give those guys some opportunities to make some plays on balls. I think this was a big way for them. Again, he hasn't been the same player since he was a rookie, but this will definitely help that 49ers pass rush.
All right, we're going to go to a team that has a whole different set of problems on the other side of the ball. Offensively, I don't know how Deion can see anything through these glasses, so I'm taking them off for a second. Kirk Cousins out, of course, and even though the Vikings have now traded – for the Cardinals quarterback, Josh Dobbs, you know, the fact is they're going to start a fifth-round rookie, Jaren Hall, against the Falcons. You play center, Jeff. What do you tell a quarterback making his first start, a rookie making his first start at that position? Wow.
Yeah. Don't worry about winning the game. Just don't lose the game. That's really what you tell them, right? Like, we're going to do everything we can to protect you. We're going to try to give you smart throws, try to run the ball, establish, let the offensive line kind of do its part. Do not think you got to come in here and wing this thing all around and make play after play. We're going to try to set up big shots, get you some easy throws, but if it doesn't work out, don't turn the ball over. We'll stay in any game as long as you don't turn it over. I really think this is actually a smart move, though. When you're bringing Dobbs over, there's no way he can learn this offense that quick. He might be able to learn a very condensed version of a few plays, but you want this kid to go in, take his time, figure this out. But if you're the Vikings, you realize when he tore his Achilles, Kirk Cousins tore your season, it took a significant dive. You're hoping Dobbs can come in and create some energy, but the reality is let's try to develop players and trust him. Just don't ruin him. So just tell him don't try to win it, just don't lose it.
We go from the Vikings offensive issues to the Chiefs of all teams having offensive issues. I am pointing the finger as a still angry Bears fan at Matt Nagy being back there now, being involved in the Chiefs offense. But you're going to give us a more sophisticated answer, Jeff. What's going on with the Chiefs offense?
Haters gonna hate. I like it. I respect it. Stay mad at them. You know what I mean? No. Hey, listen, they can't catch. That's the problem. If you look at the Chiefs right now, they have the most drops in the NFL. And so they're trying to develop these second, third round receivers, you know, get these guys in, have some things, and they're just not making plays. Everything's going through Travis Kelce. And I understand they have a great relationship, he and Patrick Mahomes. But when you saw the touchdown pass by Moore that hits him right in the hands, what ends up happening, and I say this like this, what happens to quarterbacks when they keep putting the ball in those spots and guys drop them, they won't, I mean, the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's, the Drew Brees, they ain't going to throw you that ball anymore. They'll just skip it. They'll start checking it down to guys they feel more assured are going to make that catch. These guys have got to pick it up, make these plays. They're there. Mahomes makes every throw in the world. The best to do it, you got to keep watching. These guys got to catch the ball. It's not on Nagy. It's on the players.
All right, we will get you out of here on this. The Jets offensive lineman, Xavier Newman. He jumped from the practice squad to the game day roster as a backup. Then he gets in at guard. Then he has to take over at center after two centers got hurt. Center is your position. What is the degree of difficulty in what Xavier Newman had to do?
It's unreal. Listen, this had to be the story of the weekend. I know the game was a snooze fest. It was about, like, who could punt it better and all that. But at the end of the day, this center puts the ball down and snaps it with 1 second left. He executed the position of center as well as you can do it. He didn't even know the snap count of what it was, what the quick snap was. He's asking as he's running down to Zach Wilson, what is the count? That this guy's ability to play guard and then move to center in this situation with time running out, and he didn't wait for the referee to set it. He put it down where it was supposed to be. He did everything right. Tip of the cap to my man. I mean, listen, I could not be more excited for this kid. Wow. He could not have played better. I don't care. Look, I don't even care if he blocked a soul. What he did to help that team was just unexpected, and I really cherish it. It's a ton of pressure. He stood up to it, man. Congrats to him and to the Jets, obviously, but to him for making that play.
Time for a bonus.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Something extra in his pay envelope.
Glad to see you excited.
Thank you, Jeff.
Love y'all, man. Great costumes, baby. Way to finish the day for me.
Thank you. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Dabo Swinney goes off on a radio caller.
And will Georgia be number one when the first college football playoff rankings come out later tonight?
It is nice to get the perspective of somebody on an offensive line.
Yes.
You know, Wilbon and I always thought that the teams...
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
The Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 60th birthday, Fred McGriff. The Crime Dog was voted into the Hall of Fame this year unanimously by the Contemporary Baseball Era Committee, which is a bunch of baseball guys McGriff's age who think he should be in, even though the baseball writers did not. McGriff played 19 years in the majors, playing first base mostly for Toronto, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay. A career 284 hitter, 493 home runs, 1,550 RBI. McGriff batted 333 in the 1995 postseason, helping Atlanta win the World Series. Five-time All-Star, two-time league leader in home runs, and the MVP of the 1994 All-Star game. Many of you will remember McGriff in that commercial for kids' defensive drills with Tom and Mansky because it was only on 10,000 times.
Let me just say thanks to the baseball, the Contemporary Committee, because they got it right. The baseball writers got it wrong. McGriff should have been in the Hall of Fame earlier. The baseball writers blew their chance. I'm glad there's a safety net there to make good. Congratulations to the crime dog.
Happy anniversary, Case Keenum. On this day 14 years ago, the University of Houston quarterback passed for a career-high 559 yards and 5 touchdowns to lead Houston over Southern Miss 50-43. Despite being the only quarterback in D1 history to pass for more than 5,000 yards in 3 different seasons, Keenum was undrafted and signed with Houston as a free agent. Over 12 seasons, Keenum has been with 7 teams. In 2017, he went 11-3 for the Vikings, including that miracle pass to Stephon Diggs that beat New Orleans in the playoffs. Keenum is currently the third-string quarterback on the Houston Texans behind C.J. Stroud and Davis Mills. Keenum holds D1 records for passing touchdowns, yards, and completions.
Why couldn't the Vikings go to a transfer portal or something and get Keenum back today? Why are they going to get Joshua Dobbs? Why don't they look at Keenum? He gave him all that magic and had that nice season. He's still out there. He's holding a clipboard. Come on now. People make these crazy decisions.
Happy trails to Dabo Sweeney's equanimity. The embattled Clemson coach opened the phone line on his radio show yesterday to Tyler from Spartanburg. And Tyler asked, quote, "Why are we paying you $11.5 million a year to go 4-4, unquote. Sweeney, whose team just lost to North Carolina State, started slowly, then built into an earthquake. Among the things Sweeney said was that Clemson had 12 straight, 10-plus win seasons before this one, and 2 national championships in 7 years, and played for 2 others. Sweeney said to Tyler, quote, "You're part of the problem. The expectation is greater than the appreciation. We win so much, even when we win, people like you complain. You can have your opinion. You can apply for the job," unquote. Sweeney's team hosts number 12 Notre Dame this week, and no word yet if Tyler from Spartanburg will attend that game.
There's no set of fans as presumptuous, as entitled, and as dumb as college football fans are about their teams. I know I'm one of them. They just are out of control, and Dabo had every right to come back and dude from Spartanburg, wherever the hell he's from.
Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
The Washington football team traded Montez Sweat to the Bears, your Bears, for second rounder. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for the Bears, they have no pass rush, dead last in pass rush. Giving up a second is a lot. They gave up a second round pick last year that didn't work. Let's hope this works. Lionel Messi won his 8th Ballon d'Or. Okay by you?
Well, it seems that every time he actually plays, his team wins, but I never thought an MLS player would win that. Spurs at Suns tonight. What are you looking for in that one?
Maybe a little of Wimbanyama versus Durant. You know, no Booker, no Beal yet again. The Timberwolves were beating the Hawks by 21 in the third, lost by 14. What?
That's a 35-point swing in 24 minutes. Too much magic. Too much magic. Last one. First CFP rankings out tonight. Would you vote Georgia to be number one?
There's only one team to vote for. Who are you going to vote for? You vote for Notre Dame?
What about me?
You would.
I'm 7-0.
You.
Hold it.
Georgia.
Me. Michigan.
Georgia.
What?
Michigan. Number
I'm
one.
I'm 7-0.
Huh?
I'm your conference.
Number one
I'm
in
your
entertainment
conference.
Is right here,
out
baby.
Of time.
Coach Prime.
Try to do better than
number
next time.
Number one in entertainment in the nation. The ratings haven't been the same since. I'm Coach Prime.
I'm 8-0.
Same time tomorrow.
I'm not 7-0.
You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts.